this is kind of bad here. You know, he doesn't have that elusiveness, you know, in the pocket. You know, you make guys miss. You know, that's, and Dobbs had that. You know, Dobbs could, he could outrun the guys. Dobbs had good speed. And
it's
good
weird
footwork.
This guy doesn't like but a good athlete back,
I mean,
there. He just doesn't.
I don't, it's just, something is not there. You know, something's not there. He doesn't have that elusiveness. You know, he doesn't have it, man.
And let's get our next. Let's
he's
go
got
next.
To get there. He's got to get there.
Hey, Tony, as we're watching the game today, Fat Five Freddy, as only he can, looked at me and said, it was late in the game, right after the game was over, he looked at me and said, the next time we'll see Butch Jones, he'll be being inducted into that Tennessee Hall of Fame over there before Johnny Majors.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yeah, does Butch Jones goes in before Ray Mears? That's my question. Let's get our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, this is Tiger.
Hey, Tiger.
I talked to you there after the Georgia game. We somehow got disconnected. You were asking me how big I was. I'm 5'11", 215. But we were talking, remember about the punt that they rolled out and punted, that soccer-style punt and stuff? But anyway, you was asking me how big I was. You was wanting to put me in as linebacker or something. I'm a little bit old for that. I watched Condridge over there when he played, if that tells you how old I am. Speed-wise, I might be able to get in there. But as far as the way we were running our defense today, because they looked lethargic, if you ask me. It didn't look like the coaches had coached those guys up, obviously, again. But what I did want to – I do want to compliment Butch Jones on being the first half champion of situational football. He did run a good clock management in the first half.
He did.
We were able to come downfield. Unfortunately, we didn't score a touchdown, but he was running the clock down like he should have been.
I liked how the fast half – The first half moved quickly. The game moved briskly. I liked the champion of life, as you're calling him right now. Now, LSU, I think right now, has the champion of life belt. Eric from South Georgia has tracked its movement, and it's shifted hands a couple times. It's kind of like the money in the bank deal. You can pin somebody and take it from them at any time. But I'll tell you this right now. The way this thing is going, Butch Jones, he's going to figure it out. Like that young, we had a young caller last hour, I don't know if you heard it, but he said, we need to keep him over there because he's done a nice job. And if that happens, I'm quitting. So
yeah, well,
I'm just going to declare that right now. If Butch Jones is here in 2018, Tony Basilio will not be here because I'm not going to sit here for another year of this shit. Get
yeah,
you some
well,
of that.
I'll tell you right now, South Carolina sealed their own fate because if we get another coach after this, today, they won't win again against us for another 10 years. And if there is an award, I think the biggest award ought to be given to Butch Jones of champion of bullshit, because that's what he has spread over the last 5 years. I don't want to get all jacked up again like I did after the Georgia game, because I damn near went to the hospital. But what you were saying about next week against Alabama,
yes,
is true. I told my wife on the way home, we come out of the copper cellar, we was on our way home, and I said, listen, if there is any way that we could just forfeit that game next weekend to just keep people from getting hurt, because we're going to go down there, and it's going to be an ugly game, but what I'm afraid of is we're going to have injuries over there next week that, I mean, it's going to be hard to recuperate from. And, guys, I love your show. Tony, I was there for your whole career, and I enjoyed watching you. You were a hell of a quarterback, and I enjoyed watching you, brother. So y'all have a good day. Go Vols, and get Butch Jones's ass out of here. I'm over this shit.
Thank you.
My man. He's telling the truth. I will. Speaks for itself.
Yeah. Your pizza is what right now? You're eating pepperoni and sausage. What is that, Tony? Don't lift the mic up.
This is a meat lover's pizza.
Meat lover. You meat got every lover. Kind of meat on it you
oh,
can put
yeah.
on it.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Let's
add some hot peppers on it. Oh man.
Oh, going to T-Rob going to town. E, get over here. T-Rob, are you ready for another shot? Because I'm drinking it to some old Dominic to the demise of Butch Jones. I will pour you some, E. I will pour T some. Let me have yours, E. Watt. Oh. There you go. Have at it. T, Rob.
Whoa.
This is some old Dominic straight from Memphis itself. Oh, Memphis toddy, ladies and gentlemen. Old Dominic.
A little toddy for the body.
86. And hang on, guys, before you guys go drinking, let's do a toast here. Let's do a toast here. Ladies and gentlemen, to the demise and the end of the Butch Jones era. May there be no more torture after tonight. Thank you.
You know, Tony.
Let's get our next call in.
You know, I sat in the stands today. Yeah. In the press box, and I tell you what, everybody I sat around.
Yeah.
Are you ready to suit up? Oh, my God. I mean, I got about 1,000 times.
People asking you to suit up.
You want me to suit up? As long as I don't think you hit, I'm all right.
Alex, somebody just said on Twitter a second ago before I introduce Eric Waddell, who's in here with us. Are you – they just said that he looks enthralled. Are you enthralled, Alex?
I'm
to be here tonight. Somebody called you. Somebody said that you've lost your stinger.
I'm tired, and I'm tired. How many games are we in? Seven games in?
No, six games.
Six. Well, see, it seems like seven.
Seems like the whole season. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just. It's exhausted me. Watching this, because my emotions go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Every game beforehand, I'm sitting here going, even if deep down in my heart, I'm like, we're not winning this game. I talk myself in mentally. I'm like, well, things could happen, right? We could win this thing. And then every time you just start to fall off.
You know, I love UT football, man, and
Super 100 has it right on Periscope.
I just can't. It's hard for me to even watch the ball game, man, because I know how I am, okay? And I try to control myself around people because I know how I am. And I'm like, I have to hold myself, you know what I mean? I'm like,
wow.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, it's time to go. I don't want to see you no more. I go. I leave, man. I mean, it's. It's so hard on
me. I'm telling you right now, that game today.
It's killing me, man.
Stupid.
I can't. This is, you know, this is not what I'm used to.
Nope.
See, you know, this is not what I'm used to. All the fans. I know when I was my freshman year, we were 6-5.
Here's the life championship belt for those of you tracking it, because I'm interested in this. From November 21 through November 27, 2016, the Vols had it, Beano. And then Vanderbilt had it. From December 26, 16 to September 2nd, 2017, NC State had it because they beat Vanderbilt. And then South Carolina took it from NC State. Kentucky took it. The Vols had it from September 17th because it reverted back to Tennessee by rule since Florida was ineligible due to being ranked. So Tennessee had the belt, was vacated by ranked Georgia beating Tennessee, and they didn't feel like reverting it directly back to Tennessee. And so October 9th, Tennessee had it, but today South Carolina took the life championship belt with them at a Neyland Stadium. And that's some bad news for Butch Jones, big boy. You lost your freaking life championship again.
He lost his belt.
He lost his belt.
Well,
and he got pants today in Neyland Stadium.
He can afford to. The way I look at it, Tony, he can afford to give away one life championship because he's taking the life out of me,
Beano,
and the rest of us.
Beano, before we bring Ewad in here, do you have any other final thoughts, or would you like to take another call?
Tony B, I'll clear out of the way and let Ewad ably take over here. It's always a pleasure to be in with you and T-Rob and Alex. And the truth is, right now, that's about the only pleasure we're getting out of this thing. So,
tell us,
and Tennessee may not have the belt, but Butch Jones is apparently causing just about everybody in the state to take a belt or something.
Thank you. Thank you, Bean. What a great final thought. Yeah, Butch is he's taught me to take a belt. Or five, Ewad, your thoughts on today's game, working for the Associated Press.
More pain.
Hang on, let me plug you in. Let me plug. It always helps to plug you in. What'd you think, Iwata, today?
I think sometimes I probably sound better when I'm not
plugged
hurt.
In.
Yeah. More pain. I mean, that's really the kind of the only thing. I mean, there was a lot of discussion if Tennessee was able to win this, what it would mean, and there was a feeling in the back of my head it would mean nothing other than it would just be nice to get a win. Broad scheme of things, I don't think there's anything that would have changed by winning this game today, at least not alone. Honestly, there was something – it was very emblematic of the whole tenure that this game died on the two-yard line.
Yep. That is a very good point.
Just – again, another situation that falls just a little bit short, where you snatch defeat out of the grasp of victory. And I mean, I'm not trying to be negative, but because there was a group of players that I think really tried today and gave some good effort today.
I agree with that.
The minimum thing that I can take out of this, at least they fought. I know that's, you know, when you're playing big boy football, you know, you're not into moral victories, and I'm not trying to claim one. But it was a positive to see the guys at least went down swinging with whatever limited amount that they had.
But you know, Tony, sometimes you do your best isn't good enough. And that's right. The case with this coach right now, and it is what it is. Let's go back to our phones. So Eric covered it with AP. Can't get any breaks. Can't make breaks. Even when you make a break, even when you have a team, that prevent defense that South Carolina played. If I'm a Carolina fan and I'm watching the end of that game, Alex, I'm going, now, we beat the hell out of them the whole game on defense. The time when the game really matters, when it's time to blitz, they rush three, and they went into a defense, Tony, where the safety leaves – where he's supposed to be in the middle of the field.
And allowed us
to have that deep completion and almost lost the game because of it. It's amazing.
I didn't see that play.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was that the only ball that we threw deep down the middle all game long?
It was the only ball.
I'm in the press box. I'm looking at this. He breaks open. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, please see this.
Oh, he can throw it.
Yeah.
He can throw it now.
He threw a strike.
Yeah.
That was the only strike he was allowed to try to throw.
And then we'll go back to the punt.
The thing is, we can't wait until the fourth quarter to start throwing the ball down the field. We got to do this during the first, second, third quarter, you know, also. Yeah. And by us not doing this, we're not doing anything. We're not going to do anything, man.
No.
We're not going to do a thing. I mean, even though it's his first start, you can't protect him. You can't keep trying to protect him. You got to open it up for him. You know, let him take some chances.
Eric, at halftime, we had no receivers. John Kelly had two, but from a receiver's position, we didn't have one receiver have more than one catch. And the stat I was just thinking while he was talking about throwing it deep downfield, and this is just my math based on the total stats at the end of the game, based on what they showed on TV, which was at the start of that last drive, Garantano had 61 yards total. For the game passing. He ended with 133, which means he had 72 yards on the last drive, which was more than he had the entire rest of the four quarters of the
game. I'll give you another great stat. On their scoring drive where they scored a touchdown, when they should have taken the lead but missed their extra point or whatever that was, they had 102 yards of total offense on that drive because they kept committing penalties. And our defense kept letting them convert. I mean, that was like, and then they capped that by missing an extra point. Those were two bad battling.
Somebody texted me immediately when they missed that, when they missed the field goal, extra point rather, and go, is there any question why this is a noon game?
Let's get our next call in. The only thing that game was lacking was that Pam Ward doing it. I'll know that we bottomed out when. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, hello. You're on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
You guys made a great point earlier about is it really that big of a deal that we are better than we were? We're like a guy that was 800 pounds and he lost 50 pounds and he's Anthony Slim.
That is a really interesting analogy. Go ahead.
Well, I'll take one shot at it. I was simply just trying to bring a bright spot. I'm not saying it's better because, quite frankly, Georgia's a hell of a lot better football team than South Carolina was. The only positive I took out of that is our guys didn't quit. They played to the end. And I think I could argue that, at best, they were sleepwalking at the end of the Georgia game. So I had a little bit of respect for the fact that they literally played to the last play of the game. That doesn't make any that doesn't make it all better. But I consider that the bare minimum. I mean, Tony, when you played, you laid it out on the field as long as you had a body left to lay it out on the field. I mean, and I know it's hard to not check out occasionally, but they definitely checked out. Today they didn't, so believe me, I'm not.
There was you can see the difference. You know, the guys, the players, they were more into the game this week.
Yeah.
And
they were embarrassed. How can you not be embarrassed?
If I got beat 41 to zip, you can believe next time I get that feel, oh, no, it's not going to, you know. I'm going to give my all every play, I mean, the whole time, but.
We did have a lead against a Power 5 team in regulation for the first time all year.
We did. Did not last long, but we did.
And it was just enough to tease us. We got close enough, and, you know, we were thinking, hey, that missed extra point they had earlier, it's going to be the difference in the game, and we're going to finally get a break for once. And it just never happened.
You know what?
Sometimes when you don't get the breaks, there's a reason.
Let me ask you this. Let's go around the room. I'll start with the caller. If Dormady starts today's game, does Tennessee win? To our caller.
Probably not.
Eric, what do you say? If Dormady starts today, does Tennessee win?
That's actually a hell of a question, but I would go with no.
Alex?
I say no, because it doesn't matter which quarterback is in the game. This offense has looked the same.
Tony, if Dormady starts, does Tennessee win?
No.
Okay.
I don't see it. I don't see it because, like he said, there was no spark. You know, Garantano thought he would give a different look, a different spark, you know, give us a spark. I didn't see it. And with Dormady, same thing.
All right.
Same thing. You know.
Continue with your call.
I'm about out, Tony.
Thank you, my man. I hope you have a great Saturday night, okay? And thank you for calling with us.
Steve.
All right. Take care. Have a good one. 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. I've got Ewad Studio. Eric Waddell, who joined me as kind of a prophet of doom. As it relates to Butch Jones, people will step up and stop me, and they'll go, man, I'll never forget that guy you had on your show several years ago. And your background is that you were a Cincinnati fan, were raised in that city, and when Butch became coach, and you would not have seen this thing unraveling on him like this.
No, not to this degree.
But you said he was going to be a bad game manager, mm-hmm. and there was only so much you were getting out of him.
I just thought that there was, from watching what he did at Cincinnati, I just felt very convinced that there was a certain level he could raise this program to. I thought he could get Tennessee football back on his feet, which he has. I thought he could increase the talent level because he does have some very positive qualities. I mean, I don't think you would be very hard-pressed to find someone who works as hard as he does. But I think that there's just a sort of a level that he's able to raise a program to based on his between the lines coaching during game day. And the slow adjustments, if there's an adjustment, when someone changes something up on him. And
We saw that today. Today, Tone, they threw from the first half to the end. Tennessee was having their way with them. And they threw 9 in the box in the second half. Not 8. 9.
Yeah.
And they put 9 in the box.
Stop that run.
Move that mic down on me.
Stop the run. Yeah.
And what adjustment did we make?
None.
Okay.
None.
And that's the deal.
That's
you got to win football games.
That's where I keep saying, We got to have that check system. When you got 8-9 in the box, you got to get them out of it. You got to get them out of it. You know, something quick, bam, bam, bam. You know, and they'll come out of it. Marco, if they don't, it's going to be a whole lot of scoring.
Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm, 80 years of combined experience representing clients who are looking for honest, trustworthy legal representation, treating clients like family, proud to have earned a tremendous reputation, East Tennessee's most trusted and competent DUI defense, criminal defense, and personal injury attorneys as well. If you need a lawyer, calls are answered 24/7, always here for you, 865-540-8300. Before you say guilty, you say Garza. Let's go back to our phones. Get our next call in. Auburn on top of LSU 23-14, 3 minutes and change in the third quarter there. And our next call is up on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony, this is the caller formerly known as E in South Georgia.
Hey, Eric, welcome in, man. And we tracked that life championship. I think Carolina has it now.
No, I don't think so. I think we need a review from the commissioner of life championships because, look, man, it passed from, let's see, Kentucky picked it up, then what, Missouri beat Kentucky, Florida took it from them, so Florida had it for a week, then LSU.
But Florida was ineligible, say. Florida was ineligible.
Oh, wait a minute, how are they ineligible? Who came up with that? Where's the commissioner?
Well, because they played like an illegal player or something, didn't they?
Oh, come on, they do that every week.
Well, that win was a fluky ass. You don't win the life championship in a game like that. When you win the life championship, Alex, it's gotta matter, man.
Oh, you earned the life championship.
You earned the life championship. Butch Jones should just wake up a life champion.
Come on.
Butch Jones had to install a barber shop over at the facility and put his picture up like Kim Jong at every turn to earn that life championship.
Kim Jong Butch.
I call him Kim Jong Jones for short.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I just thought that the life championship changed hands like every week. All right, so I never thought that Florida was ineligible, but I thought Auburn was going to take it this week. You know, I actually had a great day. I decided that I wasn't really going to pull for Tennessee. I won't pull against them, but me and the big one, we went and watched a movie. We had some lunch, and, you know, we saw the score, and it's like, yep, nobody could have seen that coming. We had a great afternoon. We had a great afternoon not watching Tennessee football. See, I think I've moved through the seven stages of grief. This is going to sound kind of Beano-ish, but I think I've moved through them seven stages of grief of being a Tennessee fan. I'm about ready to just, you know, accept that we've got weasels running this program and in charge, and they're going to select weasels to run it. That's all that we're going to get. Unless you made it clear that, hey, we're going to do something different, but they're obviously not, or they would have done it, you know, 2 weeks ago when we got pounded. So we had a great afternoon though, but I'll just tell you I can't even remember where I was going. I appreciate it. I did cheers when you held up the Dominic to the screen there. I thought you were talking to me. I didn't realize you had Ewad in there. So
unbelievable. I mean, we thought we were going to have a toast together through the screen, man.
I thought I was reaching for it. Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll tell you what, Coach 23, and I loved listening to that 13-year-old earlier that said that he would, you know, pick a fight with an offensive lineman and hide out in the end zone because they'd never find him there. That's perfect. There's nothing more true than that. This is – holy cow. That was awesome. That's the best laugh I've had today out of this team. I'll tell you, I think this is what it's going to take to change things over at UT. It's going to take the empty stadium. I hate to say it, but if we keep showing up for this and supporting this, it's going to keep on going. They're not going to change it because the money's still there, and that's all they care about, the money. They don't care about the wins or anything else, just staying in control and keeping the money flowing. It's disgusting, Tone.
I was with today's game is a low point. And I know we keep saying that. Today's game is a real low point in this guy's error.
This might be a high point in the Butch Jones era. I mean, this is maybe not a high point, but this is this is your norm for Butch Jones football, okay? This is the norm. This is what you should look for from Butch Jones football.
There's no doubt about that.
Figure this out. This is, you know, you're not going to get any better than this. This is as good as it gets.
Today's game.
Unless you have superstar talent like a Josh Dobbs and a Jalen Hurd and AK6 back there, you're not getting anywhere with that. They saved his bacon for 2 years, and I can't wait to see him gone. I can't wait to see Barney Boy's blood pressure drop about 16, 20 points, you know, get him back in the normal range where he can survive and we can all party and have some fun like it's Tennessee football again, man.
It's really tough. Thanks, man.
Love you, brother.
It is tough.
Tony, he talked about having AK6 back there and saving his butt. You know, Alvin Kamara, here's the guy who I think played a pivotal part in Adrian Peterson getting traded, because the confidence that coaching staff has in him and his playmaking ability as a rookie in the NFL. And you can look back to last year when we struggled to get him carries. I mean,
and that young man one day will be very thrilled by that, because it will save him and he will be fresh.
He's fresh, that's for one.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you're not, he is not tired. Eric, this thing here, the Alabama game next week. Well, let's get another call in, then we'll go to him. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Antonio.
Hey, welcome in.
Mariano.
Hey, Mariano. Welcome, buddy.
Welcome back, brother.
Hey, thank you, brother. Great to be back on Terra Firma.
I heard that. First thing, a couple things I want to say about today's game, but first of all, South Carolina was down three starting offensive linemen. Their best receiver, Deebo Samuel, and they lost their running back, I think, the first series, their best running back. So, you know, one thing, I didn't hear him say anything about any excuses about any injuries before the game, during the game, after the game. And something else that I noticed during the broadcast, the play-by-play guy that they had on, I don't know who he was. He was not very good, but I will say Tommy Tuberville is great. Is a great color analyst.
He is fan-freaking-tastic.
He is not good.
And he called out Tennessee countless times.
Mariano, did you hear him make the reference to the alcoholic reference early in that ball game when they were talking about the Vol Navy?
Yeah,
depending on it, well, depends on how long of a trip it is, depending on how much beer you got.
Yeah,
that's right.
I laughed out loud when he said that.
Well, he's funny.
He's great.
He just tells the truth.
Yep.
He doesn't try to put on a show.
Yep.
And that's really refreshing to hear it.
And he goes, and "That's a silly call."
He called us out, guys. He said, "Hey, look, South Carolina's just tougher than more physical than Tennessee," and that's exactly right. We couldn't, in the third quarter there, we were gassed. We couldn't. They were just running the ball. They were running straight dives. I mean, zone plays and with a cutback, and we couldn't stop it.
You know what we would have done, Mariano, in that case? We would have had several of those dives, right? And then we would have had Josh Smith throwing a halfback option or a wide receiver option pass.
We had in the first half. Throwback, huh?
It's just moronic that.
Guys, let me say this, and I think this is what, when I heard the previous caller say a good point, an empty stadium. But let me tell you this. The only thing Butch is selling to everybody is the recruiting class. Well, let me lay this on you. I just read it on Twitter. Lynn J. Dixon has opened up his recruitment. That's their number one recruiter
as far
as a running back. Yep. So that one's opened up.
Yep.
And it's going to keep coming. Nobody's going to play for this. They're watching it. They're seeing it up close. They're looking at it objectively. And now, he can talk all he wants to. You got to have results on the field. And there's no results on the field. And Tony, that we've had, 30-something kids during his tenure leave? There's got to be a reason for that. I mean, there's something there that's not good. It's like, hey, if you don't want to play my way, just take your ball and go and leave. And, that's the way he operates. So. And you know how he's treated the media. We got a friend that's not even in town anymore. So, play by my rules or audio. So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for him.
Well, I know for a fact that there are kids on that team telling recruits that if this guy stays, you don't want to be here. And I'll tell you something. When you get to that point, it's quitting time. And it's beyond quitting time. And it's time to pull the plug. And they need to pull the damn thing now, Mariano. Why wait?
I think probably if it don't happen this way, after next Saturday, And man, what a 3:30 game for a, you know, what do they call? What are they gonna call this? The lamb, you know, leading the lamb to slaughter or what?
No, I mean, we're gonna have Big Will come out and he's gonna say, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Butch Jones Funeral."
But anyway, guys, it's over. I mean, it's dead. We're losing players now. I mean, how many more do we have to lose? You know, I mean, they talk about the class, but nobody's wanting any more. See you guys.
See you, my man. And that's the thing. It's like somebody told me this week on the air, do you want to get rid of him and go through the thing with the recruiting class? And I'm like, the recruiting class isn't going to be here by then. You're not sustaining that, Eric, are you? Are you sustaining that class?
I can't imagine how you would.
I mean, you're going to lose a bunch of
guys. You've got guys who are already leaving.
Yeah.
You've got guys who are already saying enough.
Yes.
If it's happening now, I can't imagine it changing. I mean, everybody seems to think, and probably rightfully so, that the fork is already stuck in.
Yeah.
So, no, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine how you hold that recruiting class together.
Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. We'll get some score updates for you. As Al's been keeping you posted all day on the games of local interest out in front of Southeastern Sunday night, which will come your way tomorrow night at 7 o'clock from 7 to 9, right here on this very same Periscope stream you're currently watching and on this very same web channel that you're currently listening to. It's unbelievable how that works. Southeastern Saturday night presented by you, as is the remainder of today's program. So if you'd like us to stay on, I would encourage you to please go to TonyBasilio.com, our website, and leave us a tip. Otherwise, I'm shutting this thing down shortly and enjoying my weekend. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402 is our next call, and let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, doing great. Thank you for being there.
All right, man. I was going to give a big shout-out to Jeff Robodine there, Bino. He knows what I'm shouting about. We'll get into that later.
All right.
And I love to see all the time you're putting into this. I mean, you work hard, and that's great, too.
It's nice of you to acknowledge. Thank you, my friend.
And my name's Bo, by the way.
Thank you, Bo.
And T-Rob, I mean, me and him hung out for a while. He probably don't remember me, but I do him. I'm from Petros, Tennessee, and I was going to say that we have hired clowns over here for the last – how many has come and gone? I mean,
well, Lane Kiffin was kind of a clown show because he quit, but he wasn't going to be a clown show because he had a really good staff around him, and they were going to win some games. Derek Dooley was certainly a clown show, and this guy here – is turned into a clown. The guy literally called the media out, and then his team hasn't scored a touchdown in two consecutive games. That's Boob City USA. What a boob.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you go that long without scoring a touchdown, and he needs to be gone. Should have done been gone. But he still wants to get his payout.
Yep.
And the Aslams will give him that. They need to send him on his way.
Yep.
And unlike the other caller, I think he deserves to go to Alabama. He deserves to be thrashed his last game. And maybe they'll fire him that night or the next day. I hope.
Wait a second. What if we pull an upset?
Well, if we do, then wait till Monday.
I'd fire him anyway. That's exactly right. You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm firing him anyway. Yeah, I tell him that. Butch, if you win, you get to keep your job on Sunday.
Yeah.
If you lose, brother, if you lose, you ought to make more other plans to get back from the. Because I'm Lane Kiffin and you at the team bus.
Yeah, I will wait till Monday if he wins, and probably could hire me and Bino to do that job. But we could do it better than he's ever done over there, I'm sure.
I give Bo and Petros. I'd give you the vote over him and Derek Dooley any day of the week, bro.
Hey, I guarantee you I could beat it. You can ask Bino. I mean, we've upset everybody that ever played over there that played any ball outside. We kicked their ass off. They're used to losing.
Used to losing. You know,
and they're getting more and more used to it.
Oh, there's no question.
He's got to go, man. I mean,
Yep.
He's got to go. There's no doubt about it.
We're two under 500. Meanwhile, this team at LSU, T-Rob, it's 23-20, pending an extra point. They are coming back on Auburn. They look dead in the water, but a punt return for a touchdown. Hey, say what you want to say about those guys, Al, but they're at least playing some decent, respectable football.
They're liable to steal the life championship away from Carolina the same day if they're able to upset Auburn.
No joke.
Hey, all jokes aside, though, this Auburn team is the common fans' only hope to stop Auburn from
Alabama.
And it's Georgia's only hope of getting to the playoffs because they're not beating Alabama.
No.
And if you know, this is not looking good for Auburn, obviously, but LSU, it's another situation. You see, they've got raw talent. They've just got to be able to put it together. But I wouldn't put this past Auburn to hold the lead because that's a team that's played well all year.
So Alex has a score update for you. It's 23-21 with 14:33 to play in the football game there.
Yes. So moving on, besides that ball game in the SEC, Ole Miss up
on the bench. I got a caller on here.
I thought you said you had a score update. Sorry, a little false start there.
That was our score update.
Oh.
See, Bowen Petros, is he respecting you? Was he respecting you, Bowen Petros?
I think if I ran into him, he would respect me.
Goal! I don't know about that, Bowen Petros. Alex is a pretty big boy.
But one more thing before I go, and they're talking about groups and this and that, and if they will go back and look, Gruden was in the NFL for 11 years. He had 5 years over 500. He won, the Super Bowl, 12-4. Very next year, he was 4-12.
Exactly,
so
right.
The players were done there. I mean, I don't see him helping UT.
John Gruden never met a locker room in the NFL that he didn't divide and alienate. But I hate to be the bearer of truth. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you.
I'll take care and I'll holler at you.
Thank you. And the next college football player he recruits will be his first. But other than that, I'm sure he'll be a tremendous fit. He is the only hire, and you know, all you people, it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he's our answer. And let me tell you something about John Gruden. John Gruden is a figment of your imagination. That's what he is. Let's go back to the phones.
He's not leaving Monday Night
Football. He's not leaving Monday Night Football. Plus, Tony, he couldn't do this job.
Would you leave Monday Night Football one night a
week? I would put my mic up here if I wanted
to. Would you leave Monday Night Football one night a week? That's all you got
to do? No, for that kind of money?
For
that kind of money? He's undefeated.
That's why Coach Cowher has never come back to pro football. I mean, there is, I would say of the teams in football, there's less than a handful that wouldn't hire Cowher tomorrow.
Now Alex is
mad
at me.
But he's got a great job sitting in New York.
Right.
Why would...
Now Alex is mad at me because I cracked on his boy, who's a locker room divider. The owners don't
like
him.
Since when is that my boy?
People couldn't wait to get him out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Flirts with every job.
I just want to know when
he's
that's been proclaimed to my boy.
Cell phone. He flirts with everybody, Tone. He's a bored teenage girl with a cell phone. Again, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next caller in. Hello and welcome. Hello to our next caller. Welcome in. Hello to our next caller.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Tony, what's going on, man?
Hey, welcome in.
Thanks. South Carolina fan here in Knoxville.
All right, man. Good to hear from you. What'd you think of today's game?
It was ugly. Yep. I mean,
good win for you guys. Congratulations.
It was a good win, but it was an ugly game.
Tell you what you guys did though. Hey, after earning the win, you almost gave it back with that stupid prevent defense. I bet you were going crazy when they did that.
I don't know why they didn't just lay the quarterback across the damn goal line, try to throw it in there at the end. But
why did you guys play that soft prevent, drop 8, rush 3, and let Tennessee just march right down the field? It was crazy.
I have no clue what they were thinking with that. Here, let me let my boy Snake talk to you for a minute.
All right, bring Snake in here. Ken Stabler, the Snake's back from the dead. Hey, Snake.
Hey, man. Sorry about that. That's my buddy flew in from Philly, and I had to witness that with him as the Gamecock fan. That's great. So, of course, I had to turn him on to you, being a
living in Philly.
Beautiful.
We met a few weeks back, and I think I told you about that. We were in the military together, and can I do a little rant here?
Go ahead, Snakey. Go ahead, Snakey.
These guys calling in, and I love them. I mean, nothing against them. I'm going to the movies. I'm not going to the game. So 3 years from now, when we're beating the world, are they going to beat the game? I mean,
well,
that's crazy.
You got to understand something. Nobody's going to the movies and not the game. There were 97,000 people there today. It's just talk.
Oh, no. Trust me. I was there. It's sitting in 175 degrees.
It's
awful.
It's just talk. And we, our fans, these guys have to blow steam off. I've come to understand that through the years. When somebody says,
you know
what that reminds me of? So when somebody gets mad at me and they fire me off an email and tell me that they're never going to listen to me again, and then I get an email 3 weeks later about something that went on the air. And I don't say back to them, I thought you were never going to listen again, because I don't do that. But it's the same kind of thing. It makes people feel better to say that. But people are going to listen to me because I'm damn good at what I do. And people are going to go to the Vol games.
I love you.
And people are going to go to the Tennessee games because the draw is that hard. And you only get six or seven of them a fall. So nobody's going to stay home.
Right. True. Well, I'm not too much younger than you, a little bit younger. And I know T-Rob's in there, and I grew up, God almighty, as a kid watching that. And I never thought we were going to lose a game with him back there running around. Him or, you know, some of the not Amy, but like Clawson, some of those folks. You just always felt like no matter what, you're in the game. But that I don't feel like that anymore.
No, Tony, he makes a great point, Tony. We were down six today, game was over. Tony, I thought that game was over, and we're down six. And that generally you should say, man, we can drive for a touchdown here. I put on Twitter, we need a miracle. And people were hazing me. And I said, hey, miracles happen. We could score a touchdown here at the end. And people were just ripping me. They were hazing me, Tennessee fans. You know, Tony? You never got the feeling we were going to score. No. The guy's right.
Yeah, I know it.
But
mean,
you guys remember, though, right? You always thought somehow back in the day we're going to pull it out. I didn't care where I was, who I was with. You're like, oh yeah, we're coming back. It's going to happen. I don't feel like that anymore. I really don't.
No, and now that you watch this young quarterback play, Alex wrote a great blog earlier in the week. When did we run that out on the site?
Thursday,
and you said, hey, if Garantano comes out and he plays with some fire and some zip like early Josh Dobbs, it'll give the fan base something to look forward to for the rest of the year. And I'm not sure Garantano even got to that mark today.
No. I don't know. Did you guys – I mean, in the stadium, it's hard to tell. I mean, it seemed like he came out and he had a little zip on the ball. It seemed like he was playing decent. He had a little fire in him, but he just – God, I hate to say it. He's just not – we're spoiled. Josh Dobbs spoiled him. We thought – we could do better, but I don't think we can.
Eric, I'm going to ask Eric, did he look slow of foot to you?
Didn't look as quick as I expected. But I'm going to throw out a factor. When you're a young guy and you're seeing all this coming at you at full speed for the first time, sometimes you hesitate. Sometimes you don't react as quick. I'm hoping we can chalk it up to that.
Tony, don't buy that. Tony, you buying that?
Hey. When those guys coming at you, it'll make you move. If you can move.
But I think he froze. Yeah,
that is the point.
I think he froze some. I mean, I really do. I mean, because he held the ball a long time.
Yeah, I'm talking about running plays now. When they were running
plays,
that one where he got hawked from behind by the linebacker, that
running plays,
he looked like he was running in quicksand.
Thank you. He looks to me like he belongs at one of the Basilio family reunions. He runs like an Italian kid.
You know, he all had that. Everybody remembers that time, that commitment he had, the video that they did in Times Square.
Right.
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Can we get him to go back up there? It was a commitment video where he said he's going to come to Tennessee in Times Square. Maybe we can get him to go back up there and film another video. And if he stays there long enough, maybe he'll be able to run a New York minute. Because now he's running.
That's
he's
a
running
damn a rip.
God,
oh come on, let's not kill the kid.
Murder that poor kid.
I'm just.
Well, fellas, I'm going to have to break out my Best of the Balls DVD and watch. T-Rob running around like a maniac and fling it 80 yards with his two fingers. So.
Thank you.
that'll bring the old memories back.
T-Rob put that ball, his finger on the tip of that ball and let it fly, man. There's nothing like it. T, you're about ready to depart here. Because you got to get your biographer back to her hotel.
Back to the hotel.
They didn't get her checked in, and we don't want to do that with her. Well, T. Rob, say a final word for us, and then we'll go to and then we'll get some more calls in.
All right. Well, in the beginning of the game, I liked what I was seeing.
Yeah.
With Garantano, I liked it, and as the game went on, we started going downhill.
Yep.
You know, defense. I thought the defense played a pretty good game. Offense, we fell back in that same pattern as the weeks before.
Yep.
And we're not exciting, man. We're not fun to watch at all. You know, and to me, I love football. I love football. But I don't love this. I don't like this. I'm very passionate about UT. I love UT to death, and it makes me sick, man, to watch my team like this. You know, I can't stand it, man. And like I said last week, the week before, anything I can do to help them QBs,
I'm
gonna do it.
And you're gonna go over there and spend time
with them this week. I'm going over this week to spend some time with the guys, man. And
Mike Canales needs you.
Hopefully, you know, I talked to him today before during the Vol walk, and you know. They seem pretty positive, but like I said, Garantano, he's young.
Yeah.
He needs more experience. And
they give him a head start on the Vol walk?
No. He was in the middle. He was in the middle. But I think with both of them, we're going to turn it around somewhere. We're going to turn it around. I hope so. I pray and hope.
He walk fast?
He strolls, you know. He strolls.
Tom, thanks, man.
Right,
I love my guy. That's my guy, Tom. T-Rob. That's my man right there. Love him. Beautiful, man. It's such a special thing to share time with T-Rob, and he's over here hugging the superstar on the way out, and life couldn't be any finer. You know, this is just an unreal thing. You know, I just want to see us do our deal, you know? I just want to see us do our deal. And let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402, and get back to playing Tennessee football. That's all I ask. Tony is just talking. He is talking up a storm walking out of here. Let's get our next call in on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Tony, Brian from Asheville.
Hey, Brian in Asheville, welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Doing great, man. Good to hear from you.
Headed down to Taft, supporting the sponsors. Going to try to enjoy my weekend, watch some real football here.
There you go. Who are you going to watch tonight?
Missouri, Georgia.
Yeah.
Bama, Arkansas. See if Salima's in the same predicament we are. You know, whatever.
That'll be interesting.
It will be. It's not even fun. They need to fire him. I mean, what are we going to go in, a 100-point dog against Alabama next week? I mean,
the line will probably – I'm going to install my personal line if somebody wants action with me, 40. Alex, what's your personal line if somebody would want to make a bet with you, Al, on that game? What would your personal line be?
57.
I'd say around 37 just because I don't think – Saban typically – has respect for his fellow coaches in the SEC. I mean, he doesn't typically run the score up, but
How many, Al?
I said around 37. Just because he doesn't run the score up. Now, if it was an average team, I'm saying 50-plus. But, I mean, just the way Saban does it, I don't think that he'll make it worse than it needs to be.
I saw Saban last week keep a score down. I think he'll do it again tonight.
As long as Tyler Bird didn't come off and talk trash like Vandy did against him.
What in the world?
Speaking of which, what did he do today?
What was he thinking?
Zero catches.
With his deal. What could Tyler Bird have possibly been thinking? Would somebody please explain that to me? Did you guys see that? Did you see what he's
doing.
Talking about? What Tyler Bird was doing? He was talking trash. Do you remember that? Did you happen to see the tweets to our caller?
I did not.
Oh, so he called them out, and he was talking about how he saw on film, blah, blah, blah. And Debo Samuel, who's out for the year, tells Tyler Bird, he says, dude, you can't talk trash when you have two catches.
It kind of doesn't. You have two catches for the year, dude. We don't talk trash. I mean, it kind of doesn't work that way.
Well, maybe he's just thinking, you know, if normally at the cornerback position, if you have two catches, you're
it's a pretty good line.
We're 0 for must jump. I'm with my Carolina cousin. We're having a ball. But anyway, you got to do something. You got to go down with two dummy headsets next week. You got to do something to turn this thing around because it is so not fun. But we're still balls. I'm with T-Rob. Something's going to turn around. But it's straight garbage right now.
Who gets dummy headsets, Bri? Who gets dummy headsets? Who you want to have dummy headsets next week?
Offense and defensive coordinator.
And Butch Jones. I want three courts cut.
Butch won't be there. I want the old Michigan line guy that's running with no headset out there.
Brady Hoke with no headset, and then our two coordinators. Although I will say this, I think that our guy at our Penn State refugee, shoot, in honor of Tom Petty, I'll use that term. I think he's.
Yes.
I think he did pretty well today, until it mattered. Thank you, my man. Good talking to you. Have fun tonight downtown.
Have a good one.
Say hi to the Smiths for me. Thank you. Let's get the great Jerry Colquitt in here. JC, what'd you think of today, man?
Ooh-wee, man. It's tough, Tony. Tough to watch.
Nearly impossible to watch, JC. You gave us a great scout. And from your scout, how did the game play out? What did you like about what Tennessee did? What did you like about what they didn't do or dislike? And then we'll get back to our phones. This is Jerry Colquitt, ladies and gentlemen, of FEMA Quadrant 10.
Tony B, let's start with the defense first. I really, really like what the defense is doing and the production that they're getting from my guys. To me, they've had about three or four solid games now where they're trending upwards. It looks like Shoup is being much more aggressive. You see him trying to dictate things. I saw a lot of line twist on passing situations, which, you know, basically, you know, for your listeners, if you guys haven't played ball or coached ball before, that's where on passing plays, one lineman will basically run a pick play for the other lineman. He'll loop around. So that basically, you know, you can create or manufacture some sort of rush if you just don't have a guy out there that can do it in a basic four-man rush. Everybody goes straight and beat their guy man-on-man. So with today, with the absence of Daryl Taylor, I thought that was something that they were going to have to do. And I saw them do that. Also saw them send guys from the second level as well. So. That's about three or four games in a row, Tony, where, you know, since our 0-7, as we called it, alignment, since the Georgia Tech and the UMass game, I thought, Shuba's really called, a really good, consistent game, going forward.
Yeah. No doubt setting himself up, Jerry, for his next stop. On offense now, Jerry, what did you make of what Tennessee did? And then we'll go back to our phones.
I thought early on what I liked, and this is you and I talk really closely. We watch film together. The one thing I liked early on was that they let the players execute, especially in the passing game. So, you know, the prior two games, very early on, I thought we did and tried some things that our guys just aren't used to. But, Tony, I thought this game, you didn't see that. They lined up in basic formations. You know, guys just ran simple curl routes, you know, down the field, back to the quarterback. Boom. He stuck it. I think that was his first attempt to Josh Smith. There was another one early. And it was funny in our conversation yesterday. I said, Tony, when was the last time you seen a guy just run it down and out? You saw that early. Garantano rolls to his left. He hits, I think Johnson, I believe, over on our sideline. Just, you know, simple stuff. So I feel like that early on, they were doing well. The running back showed up early on, John Kelly and Chandler, man, he's such a spark when he goes there. He just changes the whole dynamic when he's in the game. But I thought it's almost like you and I talked. First 15 plays are very important. But it's like call or play calling fatigue kind of sits in. And you start there's a delay here, Tony, sounds like. And then they seem to go away with what worked well for them early on. So I would almost have liked to see them, you know, keep going back to what was successful early on. Because I thought, you know, maybe moving the pocket. It looked like Garantano wasn't as comfortable in the pocket. I thought he held on to it way too long. He didn't come down to his check down. They were able to get to him some. So, but, yeah, that's what I saw. It's almost like they got back to them old selves versus, you know, what they started early in this game.
Well put by my man Jerry Colquitt, who's joined us, FEMA Quadrant 10. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. And you're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction as we watch Auburn and LSU. It's a 23-21 game, 7:02 remaining in the football game, and this thing is going to get interesting. Hello to our next caller.
Hello, my good Christian friend. How are you?
Titans Bill, it's great to talk to you. We generally visit with you as part of the Clone Cast, but this is the real Titans Bill who's made an appearance here. Titans Bill, you're on with Jerry Colquitt, Eric Waddell, and superstar Alex Myers.
Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, it's good to be joined by such great legends as you guys are. Tony, I'll tell you, the noose is getting much tighter around Butch Jones's neck. And I'll tell you, it would not surprise me that Alabama is going to tear Tennessee's kingdom down.
Jerry, is Titans Bill going on a limb right now talking about Alabama perhaps tearing down Tennessee's kingdom next week? Jerry?
Tony,
what's going to happen?
I'm not a pessimist. Today I thought the kids competed.
Yep.
Last week, I thought everybody on that team played awfully, and I had Tennessee at about 8 games.
Yep.
I still think, you know, minus the LSU game, yep, they should win the rest of them, and you're still going to hit about 8 games.
Yep.
They're going to lose to Kentucky.
I think unless
Jerry Titans Bell just said
they're going to lose to Kentucky.
Yeah, Jerry Titans.
You heard that here from me.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Jerry? Titans Bell's Titans Bill's got a little vim in his step tonight. He's got a little pep in his step, Eric. What's up with Titans Bill tonight?
This is not the kinder, gentler Titans Bill I'm so used to.
Well, I'm the Titans Bill, buddy, that brings it to the table.
Damn.
That is true. That is true.
And I'm bringing it to
Titans
the
Bill
table right here.
Titans Bill.
Yes, sir.
Can you answer one question for me?
I certainly will.
Have you had an enhancer or two tonight?
No.
It sounds like it, because you're absolutely bringing it.
Because I'll tell you, there was really not one bit of excuse the way we played. We played hard, but it was close, but no Virginia Slim, and I'm addressing that to all the glamorous ladies that's listening to this program.
Jerry, they've called you Virginia Slim in your day, didn't they?
Nah, man. No. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
We're not going to get the Jerry Colquitt laugh on that one.
Titans Bill, can I ask you something?
Sure, buddy. What is it?
What is the remedy for a burnt sausage?
Well, just keep it in the grill for a long period of time and just let it burn.
No, my sausage is – Butch Jones nuked my sausage today.
Yeah.
How do I get it back? I don't want to look at a burned sausage.
He's burning a lot of people's sausage, not just mine and not just yours, but all the other people as well. And that's
Butch Jones is – you know what that sumbitch is? He's a George Foreman grill of Big Orange Country.
Yeah, he is.
He's burned so many sausages out. It's like we had a mass George Foreman grill in Neyland Stadium today.
Tony, the one thing I love listening to you is I don't hear a spin out of you. Especially when I do, when I hear 990. There's times on 990 you hear nothing but spin.